Welcome to Comedians Talking Sports. It's Wednesday, March 16th, 2016. Got a great podcast in store for you. I want to thank everyone who's reviewed us on iTunes. Really appreciate that. Some more reviews would be nice, though. I feel like I asked the last 2 weeks, and we've gotten like one since then. But thank you nonetheless. We were in the Who's Hot section under iTunes Sports, which is great to see. So just click that little five-star thing. You don't even have to write the review. Just click the five stars. I want to get the ratings up. Putting a lot of effort into it these days. Last week's episode with Gareth Reynolds seemed very well received. So again, thanks to Gareth and thanks to everyone who listened. We got a lot of cool stuff to talk about. I got a great guest, a Chicago boy. Can't wait to get into it with him. We're going to review ESPN's 30 for 30, I Hate Christian Laettner. I watched that just a few hours ago, so it's fresh on my mind. Really excited. Also, we're going to talk about the current state of baseball. Little old man got upset, and Maddie and I are going to talk a little St. Paddy's Day as well.
Ooh.
We're gonna talk about some fun stuff. That is Maddie Ryan. He is my guest. Maddie, how are you?
Good. How you doing? What's going on, man?
I'm good, man. We're going to start this Jeopardy style.
Okay, let's do it.
We're
going to
jump right into some topics.
Dope.
Then we're going to go back after the commercial break, which we don't have, but in Jeopardy terms.
Sure, sure.
Then we're going to get to know you. We're
cool.
Going to be like, oh, you teach third grade at, yeah, you know, Jacobs Elementary School or some bullshit, which they always do on Jeopardy.
I just love the kids, you know?
Yes, but Maddie's a very funny comedian that you could follow at Maddie Ryan.
At Maddie underscore Ryan.
You couldn't just get ready right
in the
Maddie Ryan?
I tried. There's some fucking photographer and like some snowboarder. I tried.
The number of comedians, I get so sad when I meet comedians who didn't get their actual name. For Instagram, did you get it, or is it for all of them?
No, all of them, across the board. It's even my website. It's got to be comedy, Maddie Ryan Comedy.
Oh, well, that's a bummer. Because you'd think they'd be Matt Ryan. They went by Maddie
Ryan.
Yeah,
well, there's a photographer, there's like some snowboarder in Australia.
I could see a snowboarder.
Then there's like some
Maddie.
Rugby players. Like there's a few. It's a very Australian thing I'm learning that people call Matthews Maddie.
I was lucky that I got Joe Kilgallen on everything.
Yeah.
Because there are a few other ones.
Sure.
Who have friend requested me on Facebook. I'm Facebook friends with
them. Oh, really?
Yeah. One guy's like a golfer. Who's like pretty good. He does like these, like he's like a golf pro. I don't think he's like on the tour, but
sure.
Does these how-to videos. Mm-hmm. They actually have a good following on YouTube.
Nice.
Another is some dude from Ireland who I don't really know anything about him, but it's funny because they would like my statuses.
And it looks like you're liking your own.
Yeah, and people were giving me shit. Going, look at him liking his own status. I'm like, no, I'm not, actually. Look it up.
It's these other two guys.
I got into it with him. But so what I want to talk about first is the state of Major League Baseball. And it's almost like a state of the union of sorts for the sport. A couple interesting stories happened in the last week. Goose Gossage, Hall of Famer, retired. Last played in 1994, I believe. Was a closer.
Doesn't he live in Chicago or Oak Park or something?
Goose Gossage? He might have. I don't know. I'm not really sure where he is. He was a Midwest guy.
I feel like I've seen
was
like
living
a,
in the Midwest.
An autographed picture of him at two of my uncle's houses, which means that they both saw him at some point. I feel like that maybe I could be wrong. Anyways.
No, you could be right. And you could be crazy, and it just might be the lunatic
that's
we're
true.
Looking for.
Are you looking it up?
That's Billy G. I'm obviously stalling while I look up where Goose Gossage currently lives. I don't know where exactly he lives right now. This isn't important, Maddie.
I'm way off on a tangent.
No, well, he played for the Cardinals, so I wouldn't be surprised if he played for like 10 teams.
Okay.
So I wouldn't be surprised if he's from Colorado originally. He was drafted by the White Sox, so maybe he went back to and played for the Sox for years. But yeah, I mean, he's played for every team you could possibly think of. He did play for the Cubs for a year. Forgot about that. Did he play for the Cardinals for a year too? He may have. San Diego, San Francisco. Yeah, he's played all over the place. So yeah, he might have when he played with the White Sox. That's why your uncles, who were probably our age in the 70s, probably got his autograph.
Sure.
There we go. Solve that mystery. He came out basically. I could just read it for you because it's pretty hilarious.
Let's do
because
that.
They have to do the expletive a lot. Because, you know, he's an old man who no longer, he's angry now. This is Trump's America, everyone. These old white dudes are going to use some language. He attacked even Cam Newton during it, which I thought was a little weird because it's like,
not even in your sport. What was he attacking Cam Newton about?
Oh, because Cam Newton likes to celebrate and have some fun.
Okay.
All right, so here's what he said. I'll read it exactly for all you listeners out there. Give me a little patience. All right, he says, this is Revenge of the Nerds, and they are going to get the last laugh. I know that, Gossage said. These guys played rotisserie baseball, which is fantasy baseball, at Harvard or whatever they played, and they were successful, so they think that's all there is to it. That's just a little fucking part of the game. Let me tell you, you can't control this game no matter how hard you try. We gave up on it a long time ago trying to figure this shit out. It has a mind of its own. It has a character of its own, and they are taking that character out of the game, which I don't understand the point on that. He then goes, it's a shame. It breaks my heart to see the direction the game is going. What do we want? A bunch of Cam Newtons running around? That's basically the shot he took.
So is this basically like a race thing that he's trying to thinly veil it with? Be like, there used to be more whites, and that's
yeah. What? So he blasts Jose Bautista and because Jose Bautista in game six of the ALCS, game five actually, I believe, hit a huge home run.
He flipped his bat.
And flipped his bat. I mean, he hit the home run, watched it, and threw the bat. It looked awesome.
Yeah.
It looked badass. I'm sure if you were a fan of the Royals, the team he did it to, which, by the way, they won the World Series, so you weren't hurt in long.
Yeah.
I'm sure at the time you were like, fuck Bautista, you know? But it makes me think that there is some underlining race.
There's got
to
be.
It.
How many? So the first two names he dropped are both.
Yeah, Bautista. He basically calls out Bautista, Cam Newton. He talks about how he doesn't like bat flips. He doesn't like the nerds in baseball because right now a lot of baseball teams are hiring these Yale guys, these Harvard
statisticians,
guys, stat guys
to help them win.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's working.
I fucking saw Moneyball. I get it, baby.
You saw Moneyball, yeah. Right? I mean, there is something to it. Yeah, a lot of it. And even they say we can't, it's not a science. We can't, I mean, there is a science to it, but we can't predict everything perfectly.
Sure, yeah.
There is a lot of things. It's sample size. They build off a sample size and they think to themselves, like with shifting right now, Major League Baseball, if you watch any game, there's major shifts. So if a lefty comes up, there shifts for a while.
Oh, you mean the infield?
The
infield
shifts over, the outfield shift over. They used to just do it for big lefties who they knew would pull the ball. Now they're doing it for every hitter because they have statistical evidence that'll show, 90% of the time the guy hits the ball to the left side.
Sure.
Why do we have our second baseman on that side of the field? There's such a small percentage of it. There's such a small chance he'll hit it that way. He's just standing there for no reason.
Right.
Let's move him over there. Take away where his power is, and if he happens to hit a little dribbler that way, then we'll tip our hat. He got a base hit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
These old guys see that going, hey, where the fuck was the second baseman?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah,
not
yeah.
realizing that he only hits it to that spot 4 or 5% of the time, and it's like hands of blackjack, which is an analogy they use a lot in Moneyball. So with Gossage and the whole – the reason – so you and I, being comedians and traveling the country, we see that racism is still alive.
Oh, yeah.
It's just there's code words they use, on, like, you know, with this kind of stuff. And I know there's some people might be listening who's like, oh, why can't an old white guy just not like the way these guys are flamboyantly celebrating? Because the way they say it didn't used to be this way is bullshit.
Yeah.
The reason old racists get hated on as much as they do nowadays is because, A, don't be fucking racist. You can be old, that's fine. But because they rewrite history. Babe Ruth talked more shit than anyone. Ty Cobb would talk shit. Back in the day, the pitcher would be on the mound swearing at the hitter.
Really?
That was early 1900s baseball. Yeah, during like, you know, Shoeless Joe Jackson's day.
Sure.
That's all they would do. Ty Cobb would sharpen his spikes. He would go. They were dirty players. That's how they played the game.
Right.
And I hate the idea. And it goes that way in basketball, too. Larry Bird, Kevin McHale. Huge
they talk shit all day long. So did Jordan.
Jordan
talked the most shit of anybody.
All of them.
Yeah.
All of them. He said he learned from McHale and Bird, though. And Bird and McHale would be like, yeah, we fucking talked shit to him. Who was he? Some young hotshot thinking he owns the league.
Yeah,
and then later
yeah.
they'd be like, yeah, he's God. We were wrong. You know. But that was just what they did. That was part of the game. So whenever I hear these old guys today go, oh, that's not how it used to be. I'm like, no, that is exactly how it used to be.
It's always been like that. Yeah.
That's exactly how it used to be. These guys were always like that. And so you hear this guy and you're just like, all right, he's just out of touch. He's losing his mind. And one of the players I think he was probably referencing to, I don't know if he called him out by name, was Washington Nationals right fielder, reigning MVP, young superstar of baseball, 22-year-old Bryce Harper, who him and Mike Trout are like the future. You throw in a couple other players, Chris Bryant and a few other players who look like these are going to be the studs in Major League Baseball for the next decade.
Uh-huh.
Bryce Harper came out and basically said, yeah, baseball is tired. It's a tired sport. And he made reference to the fact that in other sports like hockey and football and basketball, they get to celebrate and have fun, and it's okay. But in baseball, a guy pumps his fist around in the bases or flips the bat up in the air. It's just like sacrilegious. So I'm asking you, Matty Ryan, when someone like Bryce Harper says, is baseball tired, do you agree, strongly agree, or hell fucking yeah, of course I agree, this is the most obvious statement in the world, and I've once argued with someone who said sex was better dry. Like, you know, of course it's tired.
Yeah, absolutely it's tired. But it's like it's the institution is almost like set up to make it tired. Like it's just very You know what I mean? That's what people's like. Anytime you talk to someone with like, oh, what's your favorite sport? And you're like, oh, football or baseball. And if someone says baseball, and people, a lot of people are like, I hate baseball. It's too boring. That's the people's number one thing with why they don't like baseball is too boring. And I'm not saying you got to get like flamethrowers at the seventh inning stretch and get fucking crazy.
Although,
that would be dope. Yeah. That would be sweet. But yeah, like let them have some more fun. Don't make it this antiquated, reverend, like everyone's in church or like you're watching fucking golf. You can't even golfers get to pump a fist.
Yeah, when
they
sink
a 20-foot putt.
It's really difficult. I think about hockey, which again, if you want to go by race, that's the whitest sport.
Mm-hmm.
Every time a goal is scored, they're celebrating. You know, they're pumping their fist. They're
hugging.
They
get a high five from the whole team. Everyone goes fucking ape shit.
And someone would argue, oh well, that's because it's really hard to score in hockey. I think the average
hockey
score
and baseball score is pretty similar.
Pretty damn close. Yeah. And then if you even talk about home runs, baseball players aren't – if a runner's on third and he scores on a sacrifice fly, he's not doing backflips.
No,
he's not telling the crowd
to
suck it.
Do your job, get back and take a seat.
Yeah, absolutely. But celebrating home runs, I'm all for.
That's huge.
It's really hard to do.
It's why people go to baseball games to see a fucking home run. Like people go to NASCAR to see a crash. People go to a baseball game because they want to see somebody fucking knock it out, you know?
Absolutely.
So, yeah, let them celebrate. It's so hard to do. It's like the number one, like, yeah.
Remember Chicks Dig the Long Ball? That was mm-hmm. a campaign ad they had in the 90s there. There wasn't any Chicks Dig
that.
The Sacrifice Bunt.
No.
No, they do not. I've talked to them
about
this.
They sure don't.
They don't like it, Maddie. And also, you think about the whoever leads the league in goals in hockey is around 50.
Yeah.
Baseball player, that's about the same.
Right.
So, like, and hockey plays half the games. So, really, the goals are more frequent, so they shouldn't even be celebrating them as much.
Right.
I don't know. I just really think as far as baseball being tired, I have to agree with Bryce Harper, and I'm a baseball purist in a lot of ways, but I also think that we're living in a Vine society.
Yeah, you got
six second attention spans.
You got to capture people's attention, and it's not going to happen. But again, I do get what you're saying too, of just like the timeless American pastime aspect of baseball, you know. But like.
You know what baseball is?
Hmm.
It's the missionary position.
Yeah, of sports.
That's what Goose Goss's mind well tweeted out. Too.
Yeah.
I don't like everyone celebrating. Back in my day, we had a white president and we fucked our wives in one position and she liked it and if she didn't, we didn't give a damn. Like, that's just how he comes off to me.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I don't like what's going on. Back then, we used to get drunk every night and beat our wives and it was okay.
Yeah.
So pump a fist after a home run. Get out of here, Goose.
What happened, America?
Yeah.
You're a grown man named Goose.
Or how cool is it when you see someone do a walk-off and they, by the time they get to the plate, the whole team's waiting for him to step on the plate and they go fucking ape shit. That's the best game you see all month.
That is the best.
Yeah.
That feeling of like you taking that trot around and the crowd bouncing and everyone going insane. That I just think baseball needs to highlight more of that. I mean, you could still keep the tradition of it. I like the old-timey ballpark feel. I like the organ music that a lot of teams still do. I appreciate all that. But there's no reason that it can't just
be a little bit fun. Like there was something, I think it was either a Cubs player or a Sox player like last year. It was like there was like a rookie on the team and he hit his first home. Like I like seeing people messing with other players in the dugout. Like it's like because it humanizes them and it's not like they're not these athletic robots. Like they're fun. They want to have some fun too. Like and he like hit his first home run ever. It's like first MLB home run.
Chris Bryant, I know you're
and
talking about.
He got back in the dugout and everyone just pretended like nothing happened and like they nobody high fived him and like they were all just like kept looking and then they all like fucking razzed him.
I don't know which player that was, but when Chris Bryant hit his first one, it was against the Milwaukee Brewers. Bryant plays for third base for the Cubs. He, you know, hit it, and it was like he'd gone like his first 75, 80 at-bats without hitting one, and this guy was like a power hitter. So
Like,
when is he going to hit his first home run? It's getting embarrassing. So he finally hits it, and when he steps on home plate, he goes, the whole dugout was empty. They all ran in, and it was really funny. You see one of the coaches like waving them in as if they were coming in from third base to score. He's like, get in there. So they all hid. And so he comes in laughing and then goes running in there and goes, hey, assholes. Like,
that's
you know, great. I just hit a home run. And they're like, they're laughing at him and stuff because they ignored him.
Yeah.
Yeah, that stuff, you're right. It humanizes them. And doesn't it remind you of why we played this game in the first place?
Yeah. It's fun, like having fun with your team, having fun with your friends.
Yes.
Pushing each other. You know, like, yeah.
Did you play Little League growing up?
Oh, yeah.
This is good. We'll get to know you now, Maddie.
Yeah, for sure.
Maddie is a hilarious comedian. Actually, you know, I was thinking about this the other day because you're doing Comedians You Should Know LA tomorrow at the Improv, which if you're in LA, tickets are available. Improv, hollywood.improv.com is the quickest way to it. Comedians You Should Know, $5 with promo code CYSK.
What a deal.
How's that for a plug? I was thinking about what credit to write for you, and I remembered you did those great Jack Daniel's Honey commercials.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Tennessee Honey.
Tennessee Honey.
Yeah, I did three of those.
Tailgate Anywhere.
Yeah.
Was the theme. You were fantastic.
The name of my character was Mr. Tailgating himself. That was the name of the character.
So you dressed it up in this like...
Dapper.
Very dapper, almost like what, turn of the century type suit?
Sure, yeah. Like an old-fashioned like dandy gentleman kind of... get up.
But you also had this, and I remember someone, I don't know who, you might have referred to yourself this way even, or Adam Burke, some comedian in Chicago, called you a hipster bro.
Oh, really?
Did you ever heard that before?
I mean, I haven't.
Well, it wasn't you then.
Yeah.
I just said you called yourself that, but apparently you didn't. Which I thought was kind of like that, those commercials almost embodied that. Yeah. And what I think people, I don't think anyone ever meant that as an insult towards
you. Right. Well, some people say bro when it's, there's any kind of, any semblance of confidence.
Yeah.
Even if it's minimal and false, which mine is.
It's, come on. Like,
you get, yeah, if you say one, yeah, it's, if you like, if you're like, hey, look, who wants a cheers? It's like, that guy's a bro. He wants to cheers me. It's like, oh, no. I'm very insecure and I'm not a bro, so it's weird when people...
Really? Just cheersing people are against
now? I think
now?
So. I think everything.
How dare he have the confidence? What, did his dad hug him growing up? He got to cheers people or whatever? That is funny. Whenever I hear, especially comedians talk about confidence, we're like, you ever meet these people that have confidence and then you talk to them and they're like, oh, you should not have this much confidence? It's like, maybe they're just being a fucking person are so insecure that you're thinking, where do they get the right to stand up straight? Anyway, I always thought the hipster bro thing was complimentary towards you, though, because you're a smart dude. You have a lot of talents, and I discovered that because we had a little St. Paddy's Day get together on Saturday night, and I just got a guitar from. I ordered it on Amazon with some Amazon gift cards.
Yeah, it's a good guitar.
It was on sale. It's not bad, right? It was like it was highly rated.
There you go.
I got all the 5 stars.
We
good price,
jams on it. Yeah.
Good reviews, and you know how to play guitar really well. I'm just learning. I know like 2 notes. And you were killing it, man.
Yeah, thanks, man. I used to play in bands in like high school and college and stuff.
That's really cool.
So, yeah, I don't really play that much anymore. But like when I'll play with like by myself, but not really. Like, I don't play with other people anymore.
I see. Well, we were loving it. We were drunkenly fucking up the words and everything. I can't sing a lick, but we were definitely having a lot of fun. We played Old Crow Medicine Show's Wagon Wheel, and my favorite part is when Danielle Putterbaugh, who's a very funny comedian, her sister Tiff, the Putterbaugh sisters. She kept jumping into the chorus.
Couldn't get the timing right.
And I could tell at one point, because I was filming some of it, you were just like, okay. You were trying to hold her hand through it.
Yeah.
It was fantastic. Did a lot of good drinking.
Did some good Sunday Chicago-style drinking.
And some good St. Patrick's. And tomorrow's the actual St. Patrick's Day. Yeah. I know we're going to get liquored up and stupid for that, too.
Yeah, I'll probably Uber to that show.
Yeah.
I'd probably be wise.
I think. I'm going to try to – I'll drink early, but I'm going to take a nice break.
Tried to find that sweet spot sometimes when it's like a day like that where like Paddy's Day, because in Chicago I've almost always had shows on Paddy's Day because they're like, let's book all the mix for the, you know.
Yeah.
And then sometimes it's like the Saturday parade where like you get invited to a party at 8 a.m. for Kegs and Eggs, and it's like, okay, I can pace myself. And then the show's at 9 and you are just blind.
By the way, the fact that you know the term Kegs and Eggs is why people will throw the bro tag on you.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I remember when I started out. Yeah, this is great too.
You're right.
You look very comfortable, Brooks. By the way, very very funny comedian Brooks Whelan is hanging out on the couch. I make it seem like I'm at a studio and we got a couch over here.
It's just my couch.
It pulls out, man. If you really want to get comfortable.
So Kegs and Eggs sounds like bro. What do you guys do in Iowa? Just raccoons and sausage.
They call it get drunk. No, Kegs and Eggs was what they would call it at bars.
Yeah, you went
to DePaul in Chicago, and those Lincoln Park bars would have advertisements saying, hey, come at 9 a.m. for Kegs and Eggs.
Right.
I never thought of it as douchey, but I kind of had the same thing you had, where I think we're both guys. I'm not going to say like highly intelligent, but we're guys who we could talk about a lot of different subjects. Mm-hmm. And that's where I think the hipster bro comes from you, because it's like, oh, he could play guitar. He doesn't hate women.
Yeah.
But he also delivers his jokes in like an everyman sort of way.
Sure.
Which is why you were perfect for a Jack Daniels thing where you were trying to play like an old timey guy. But you were also like, hey, let's drink up, everyone.
Yeah. I just showed up. All three of them, I showed up on a hot air balloon and got people to party at places where they wouldn't normally party.
Did you really get in that hot air balloon, or is this
CGI?
They hit you up there?
Oh, dude. So the thing was, it was the hot air balloon basket with part of the hot air balloon, and then it was being raised and lowered by a construction crane. So like there was times where I was a full like, you know, 40 feet off the ground, like just in a little basket and a crane. But there wasn't, we weren't actually filling a hot air balloon with gas. It was like just the basket.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. You're not afraid of heights then?
No.
That's good. I'm a little afraid of heights. I don't know if I could have done that.
Yeah, it was fun. And there was a couple times where it was like a little bit like, it almost fell. That would have been.
Yeah. That would have been a story. Yeah. How do you die? Oh, he's pushing Jack Daniel's whiskey on people.
Yeah, non-union web only.
Oh, bummer. No, I got those were great. I'm going to try to post the link on the Comedians Talking Sports Facebook page, which everyone you should give a like to. Now, Chicago through and through. You still live there. Grew up on the Beverly, Mount Greenwood area?
Beverly, right? Mount Greenwood. Mount Greenwood's gross.
Okay, Beverly, which is very nice. Probably the nicest neighbor on the south side of Chicago. Wouldn't you have to say?
It's a nice one. Yeah, Hyde Park's might be nicer.
Oh, Hyde Park's nicer. They got some property value going up there, especially since the president's from there. But what was your favorite sport growing up?
That's a good question. I played baseball t-ball from like probably kindergarten through eighth grade.
Cool.
And then basketball 4th through 8th, football 5th through freshman year, rugby. Cool. I don't know.
Real quick, stop rolling the microphone away from you. Yeah. I'm like, you're going in and out because you're doing this.
I don't know. That's a good question. I think football might have been either football or baseball, I'd say.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, staying with the South Side theme, in Chicago, for those of you who don't know, if you're from the North Side, you're a Cubs fan. If you're from the South Side, you're a Sox fan. Now, of course, there's crossover. Every now and then you'll meet a South Side Cubs fan. Mm. Very rare, but every now and then you'll meet. Same thing with
North Side
Sox fan. Thank you. This is an interesting story regarding your White Sox.
Right.
DH/first baseman Adam LaRoche, who they just signed last year to a 2-year deal, has announced that he's walking away from the game of baseball.
For what?
Well, here's
the whole game. He's not just
he's retiring. He's not just leaving the White Sox. He's announced he's retiring. And
how old is he?
Not that old. 32.
Okay.
33. He's a terrible season last year, though. Really bad season. And when the Sox signed him, I didn't think it was that great of a call. I know a lot of my White Sox fan friends were like really happy about it.
Yeah.
But he's actually 36 now, so he's 35. Okay. I guess he's on the older side.
He's getting up there.
That makes sense. 2-year deal. If he was younger, he would have gotten a longer term.
Yeah.
So here's the issue of it that's really stupid. So he's walking away from $13 million.
I can't even.
That is insane.
$1 million is, I still don't understand how you'd walk away from that for a year.
Even if, I know it's not always about the money and everything like that, and I get it, once you have a lot of money, you don't just keep doing something for the money. But to play baseball.
$13 million for one more year.
That's
the thing you supposedly already love doing.
Yeah, why not? Especially coming off a bad year. Wouldn't you want to try to end on a better note or at least play until they cut you?
And we're looking good this year, too.
The Sox have made a couple nice moves. They made a couple decent pickups. A nice trade for a third baseman there from the Reds. All right, so here's how the story goes. I'll just read it to you.
Yeah.
LaRoche decided to retire after White Sox president Kenny Williams told him he could no longer bring his 14-year-old son into the clubhouse. This is according to Ken Rosenthal of Fox Sports. Williams, however, denied banning LaRoche's son, Drake, of course his name is Drake, from the clubhouse and merely asked his designated hitter to dial it back a little bit. Meaning like, dude, does he have
to get a sitter a couple days a week?
Yeah, I mean, come on. Like, why is he always here? He's bothering the other players.
It's got to be weird for the rest of the team, too. They're trying, like, they can't swear in front of him, or, like, you know what I mean? Like, or they're, like, changing, and there's, like, a 14-year-old kid, and they're coming out of the shower. Like, what the
Yeah, it's like, weird. Dude, he doesn't need to be seeing grown man dick.
Right.
You know what I mean?
A professional athlete dick, which are just probably, like, old fire hoses.
That's a little weird that you went there. They're
big dicks.
They're big dudes, right? You're running around swinging pipe, and he's 14 going, why is my dick so small?
Right.
So big. You know, it's just a weird world for that kid. So, he just asked him, hey, let's dial it back a little bit. He said, listen, our focus, our interest, our desire this year is to make sure we give ourselves every opportunity to focus on a daily basis of getting better. All I'm asking you to do regarding bringing your kid to the ballpark is dial it back. I don't think he should be here 100% of the time, and he has been here 100% every day in the clubhouse.
Wait, so is this kid not going to school, or what the fuck?
No, apparently he's not. Apparently, there's a couple different things. Adam LaRoche was even quoted as saying, we're not that big on school. We being him and his wife.
What does that mean?
So I think they're homeschooling him.
No, if you're homeschooling him, that means you are very big on school, so much so that you're going to do it yourself. We're not that big on school. It means like, whatever, he'll play bail, he'll learn. Like, what?
I guess.
I want to look into this more. This is crazy.
Here's the thing about Major League Baseball, and this really goes under the wire because there's so many. The average roster of an NBA team is 12 people.
Right.
Not the average roster. That is the roster. Football has the biggest roster. But football, people are just so obsessed with the playmakers.
I mean,
nobody's talking about the weird ass second
string
punter.
Third string safety,
Or the third string safety who, leads a revival meeting out in the woods every week. You know what I mean? But in baseball, there are a lot of these guys.
There's a lot. Like, are you talking about, like, weird Christian dudes?
Yeah.
Dude, like, farm guys that, like, grew up, like, on a pig farm. And, like, now they're just, like, their dad just took them out to a field and had them throw baseballs 10 hours a day before they got to eat ham. And, like, now they fucking throw 110 miles an hour, but they're, like, weird Jesus freaks.
They're, like, survivalists. Yeah. They're, like, the type of people where you're, like, you have a whole stockpile of guns
for when
the apocalypse happens.
You bought a separate garage just to fill with soup. Because you're weird.
Ham and soup. That's all those country folk eat. No, it is really frightening to me. Because why is this kid there all the time? And they even said, look, maybe 50% of the time. How about that? Can we meet somewhere in between? And then on Tuesday, yesterday, it was reported the 36-year-old was parting ways due to a personal issue, but Williams categorically rejected that characterization. He goes, it's not even close to being personal. I respect the man and the father that LaRoche is. He added, sometimes you have to make decisions in this world that are unpopular. It's been unpopular before. Basically, they're saying, hey, look, this isn't League of Their Own. You can't bring your freaking kid. We're not at wartime here. Yeah. You know what I mean? You can't bring Sitwell or whatever
the
that little fat kid's name is.
Or like babysitters. Yeah.
Yeah, we're paying you $13 million fucking dollars. Get a sitter, for God's sake. Like, or whatever.
Or a tutor. Or just have him sit
in the damn stance.
Yeah.
Get a box.
Oh,
like,
man.
Wouldn't the kid rather watch on TV? Like, I don't know. It's really creepy. And the fact that 36 years old, his kid's 14. So that means he had him when he was 22.
So
he's a young dad.
Yeah.
But here's what a big thing in Major League Baseball or in professional sports in general that I always thought was a huge myth. When a player retires early or, you know, decides I want to play closer to my home city, they always say, I want to spend more time with my family. To me, that's always been such a crack of shit because it usually isn't true. Because usually they retire and immediately they get another
divorce,
job. They're announcing or they get a job as like, I'm going to go coach AAA or whatever.
Right.
I'm not saying there's not a lot of family guys out there, because there are, of course. Mm-hmm. But this notion that I have to spend more time with my kid. Dude, you're 36. Your kid's 14. You're going to play for one more year. Your kid's 15. You could spend the last 3 years annoying him while he's in high school.
Right.
You know what I mean? Being like that dad.
And being a weird stage dad when you probably make him do sports at whatever, you know.
Yeah, totally.
College he goes to.
I think we might have to pause this because.
Hey.
Comedian Megan Gay. We just got a big comedian fest going on here.
Hey, boo-boo.
During the podcast. All right, let me pause this, and I'm going to come right back, and you listeners won't even notice the difference. Yeah, so sorry for the brief pause. Very funny comedian Megan Gailey's been on this
Megan
podcast
Gailey,
more than anybody.
Yeah.
She was our February resident because she's been living with me.
Oh, that's right.
So for the month of February, just to be lazy, I'm like, oh, February will be Megan Gailey month.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I could just
text anybody, just
exactly,
wake her up.
Doing
and
in my pajamas.
Do it. Yeah.
Yeah, the funny thing is she lived with me still late on several podcasts.
I'll bet. I'm not surprised.
Yeah, typical redhead. Listen, though, I did want to add, before we close out this Adam LaRoche saga.
Oh, man.
He did say he's going to take a day or two to think about whether or not he's going to actually retire. But I did dig up the Washington Post article.
I want to find more about him. Is he like an anti-vaccination guy, too? It sounds like he could be just a total fucking lunatic.
Probably is. So this was from the Washington Post in 2011. The headline was, for Adam LaRoche, National Spring Training is Take Your Son to Work Day Every Day. His kid's name is Drake, and they say Drake is the luckiest kid in the world, the luckiest 11-year-old in America, walking close behind his shadow, his son, and his father, his best buddy. He's like, oh, this is great. It's my son and my best friend. It's just
a little weird.
Cute.
It's cute, but a little weird. Also, do you know how many other...
But now when he gets puberty, it's not cute.
Major League Baseball players that have sons...
Yeah, a lot of
the same age,
with multiple women.
Yeah,
you know?
That couldn't then maybe bring him in for a couple... Like, but they have tact...
Yeah.
And a level of professionalism that they can eschew bringing their son to work and get a goddamn child care.
There's just certain things. Exactly. You're saying, like, this is the locker room is a special place.
Yes.
It's like it's where I get to adjust myself
and talk shit. I can say fuck and like my dick might be out and I don't have to worry about kids being around. Not anymore.
That's a big selling point about the locker room. So he is from Kansas, if that helps with the thinking of maybe he's one of those weirdos. He does. Here's the quote about what his wife and him think. In regards to school, LaRoche's father played in the Major League Baseball as well. Who had played for the White Sox. Where did that quote go? Oh, man, this is so unprofessional. I just had it right there. So Drake LaRoche, you guys can tell I'm killing time.
It's okay.
You know what? It's one of those websites where videos pop up every time you fucking scroll.
I hate that.
What is that shit about?
I don't understand it.
Are you making it so I never want to go to your website ever again?
There's a lot, or if there's like, look at this list, and then you have to click through it, I'm like, fuck this website forever.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that. All right.
Washington Post, I feel like they should have more class than this.
Anyway, yeah, long story short,
he just says that, you know, we're not that big on school. He works something out with the public school in the Kansas town that he's from. And as long as he passes standardized tests, the public school in Kansas is totally okay with him
taking him in or skipping the last 5 years of grades.
Pretty much. So it sounds like he's not really officially in a school. His dad and mom will teach him. It's a little bit of homeschooling, but the whole idea was, this is the quote from LaRoche, we're really not that big on school. I believe my son will get more of an education coming to work with me every day.
Oh, so what they used to do in the early 1900s.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, yeah, yeah. Oh, come to, but by the way, you get that education if your dad's like a farmer.
A coal miner.
Or a coal miner. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Some sort of skill, like, you know, not that baseball isn't a skill, sure. But it's not like a skill like, oh, we're going to get in the union one day, kid.
Right.
He's not an apprentice. Mm-mm. I don't understand what you're going to learn about. What,
if it was a blacksmith shop, sure, I could understand learning some of the tricks of the trade from a young age, but you're not going to like learn how to throw a splitter when you're 14 by watching these guys throw 100 miles an hour.
No, you're not. He's crazy with that. And the fact that he's now going to retire because he's thinking about his son and wanting to spend more time with his son. If he was really thinking about his son, he'd be like, ooh, I'll play for one more year.
And give him this $13
million. And give him this $13 million. Or keep the $13 million and spend it on his eventual legal fees for when he loses his mind and shoots up someplace because the kid has not been adjusted to society.
Right.
That's definitely something you're going to have to worry about.
Unless he's planning on retiring and they're just going to like move up in like the mountains of Wyoming and just start like chopping their own wood and just like living like that, then sure, yeah. Do
yeah,
it.
If you're going to live off the grid, we've all dreamed a bit.
Yeah.
We've all dreamed absolutely. A bit, but I don't think that's what you're going to do. Brooks Whelan's got, you're dreaming of living off the grid, right, bud?
Yeah, he is.
He's talking about going to Iceland.
Yeah.
On our break.
Wyoming? That's the spot. This is just today. Wait till tomorrow. He'll change it. All it'll take is 1 week of not being in Los Angeles and realizing there's no babes in Wyoming, and I'll be right back here.
Sorry, Wyoming. You're not really the poster child for babes. I don't really think the great wide open the babes in Wyoming, though. A lot of parts. You bring a babe with you. You got to bring, you know, you bring a crew of babes, though. You just need one.
Just one. He's pretty good with.
And then you could raise your son however you want. Little, I don't wonder what Brooks would. There's no way Brooks Whelan names his son some normal name. You're gonna have like some.
No.
This is asphalt or can. This is brown ale Whelan. All right. Let's switching topics now. The NCAA. This is March Madness now, okay. Which is why I picked the 30 for 30. We're gonna review.
Oh, are we? Did the bracket start? March Madness always sneaks up on me. I know it shouldn't because it's like, hey, March started. But like, when does the bracket start?
The tournament usually kicks off right around St. Patty's Day week. Okay. And the first games are tomorrow. I mean, the play-in games are happening.
So if you didn't make a bracket yet, you're okay.
Still make one, okay. As long as you make it by tomorrow, like, you know, 10 a.m. Cool. Or something, or 11. You should be good. The President Obama, famously made his
bracket. Didn't he like crush it last year?
He crushed it his first year, actually. I remember because I was reading up on that because I thought, I'm like, oh, he crushes it every year. Actually, for his first year, he did really, really well. And then another year we did okay, but the first year was his best. He picked North Carolina to win it all.
Wasn't there something within the last couple of years where like an octopus picked like all the teams and like nailed it?
It's always,
or maybe that was World Cup or something. There was something where like there was like some magic octopus that literally picked like every.
How do you pick? What, he just put a tentacle?
I don't know.
Each team?
I forget what it was, but it was like, this octopus is crazy. He knows all the sports.
Are you doing too many drugs,
man? I swear to God, I'm gonna find it. All right.
I'll kill time while you look up an octopus picking the fucking March Madness.
Maybe it was World Cup. I don't know. But
I was in Vegas last year for March Madness. And,
are you serious?
Yeah.
Are you a sports bettor?
I am to an extent. We came in right at the start of the play-in games. Usually I like to bet the conference tournaments. This is some fun gambling advice I've given out before, where if the teams play back-to-back games, it's usually pretty good to hit the under because their legs are tired, you know. But that doesn't really happen come tournament time. But I usually caution towards – well, here's the thing with the brackets. Everyone always has their, you know, bracketology. They always try to act like it's a science and everything like that, but really no one has no idea what they're doing. As a matter of fact, the president, I bring him up because he picked all number one seeds to make the final four.
I feel like that's a lazy man's move.
It's a cop-out. It's a cop-out. Although it happens.
That's what
happens
I would do,
and
I wouldn't even do that because I don't follow enough college basketball to know anything.
It's
so
not
like,
fun.
Yeah, but like that's like if it's a move I would do, then you don't know what you're doing.
It's like picking your kids' birthdays to win the lottery.
Yeah, but that's fun. It's cute, and then it hits. It's like we did it with Mikey's birthday.
I guess it just feels so unlikely to happen.
Yeah,
and yeah. I like to pick a random three seed.
I like that he did that. It means that he's uninformed. He shouldn't know a bunch.
Yeah,
Brooks
true.
Whelan makes a good point. He says, "I like that." I'm going to get you on this podcast, Brooks. He says he likes that Obama picked all one seeds because it means that he's not informed and he shouldn't be because he's the president and he's got more things to do.
No
He should. You're right. Yeah, he shouldn't be keeping. He shouldn't know the best player on each team. I have nothing to do, and I am not that informed this year. I'll admit, I'm not going to try to pretend like I'm some NCAA expert. You know, I'm not going to be one of those guys you see on ESPN acting like they know their shit when they don't. I am a very novice college basketball fan. Look, I'm a junior college dropout. I don't really have, you know, I know the people who are like, oh, I went to Kansas, I went to North Carolina, I went to USC. So they're like really into their team. I get it. You spent 4 years going to the games on weekends, you know, trying to get a hand job or finger a babe underneath the bleachers.
Yeah,
I understand. That was your life. Like, I would really get into that too. But that was not my life.
Okay, real quick. His name was Paul the Octopus.
Oh, so this is a real thing?
Yeah, dog. It was World Cup. It was 2010 World Cup. And he got worldwide attention as an animal oracle. He was in the Sea Life Center in Germany. And he correctly predicted a lot of World Cup matches.
Sounds like a Tim and Eric sketch.
And he died when he was two. I don't know how old octopuses live to.
Oh, God, that would have fucking depressing ended that story. I was thinking he's smart.
How old do octopuses live? That might be a good run for an octopus.
Two years? I hope longer than two.
I don't know. You're fucking real squishy. There's a lot of sharp shit in the ocean. Dude, two sounds like a good run.
I feel like spiders last longer than two. No, yeah, probably not. But two.
You're real soft.
So did he only predict one or did he do two?
A bunch. He predicted a bunch of World Cup games.
Oh, okay. But
like how many years? I think he might have been, you know, if he was alive.
The World Cup's every 4 years. Yeah, so he only got the one. He was one for one.
That's it.
What's his name again?
Paul.
Paul the Octopus. You know what? I got a Miller Lite in my hand. I'm going to dump out a little for Paul. Little dose for Paul there, buddy. Paul the Octopus. I didn't even give him a fun name.
Yeah.
Like, what would you name an octopus?
I don't know. Yeah, like, that's a good one.
Yeah, Paul. I guess it's funnier to give him a human name. It is kind of fun to give him. My dog's name is Holly.
Oh, he was named after a poem that was called Der Tintenfisch Paul Octopus.
German.
It's a German poem, yeah. So.
It's German.
That's cool.
All right. Well, he picked it, but I don't know who's going to pick the bracket this year. I'll just give out a couple little things I like to do.
Yeah.
If you want to go the Joey K route. This year, I'm saying no. Usually, I like to pick 1-12 to upset a 5. This year, no. I think all 4-5s are going to beat the 12s.
Yeah.
But I'm going to throw 1-3.
To beat a 1 seed?
Or 1-14 beating a 3, I should say.
Ooh.
And this year.
Who's it going to be?
Let me get a better look here. I want to pick someone that everyone's going to be like, you're out of your fucking mind. I like the idea of Buffalo is going to upset Miami. That game is tomorrow night.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds like a stretch.
Buffalo is beating Miami. That is your 14 upsetting a 3. Also, you want to take at least one or two 11s beating a 6. The 12 versus the 5, that shit's played. Not going to happen this year. Other than that, not a whole lot of surprises until we get into the Sweet 16. Then we'll start to see some stuff. A Final 32 every now and then, you'll see some surprise picks there. We'll get more into that next week. Also, next week, I'm going to break down NFL free agency a little bit. There's just so much of that going on. See, on this podcast, I like to talk about the things and dive into the things that you're not bored of.
Sure, that you're not already hearing so
much. Yeah, I mean, we're once a week podcast where I feel like other podcasts that are multiple times a week, or if you just follow sports at all, you're going to hear about this shit's going to be driven into your head every fucking day. Anyhow, all right, let's talk about the documentary, ESPN 30 for 30, I Hate Christian Laettner. It plays into our theme of NCAA March Madness happening right now. Now, Christian Laettner played for Duke. He also had an okay NBA career after that. Was an all-star one time. The documentary is narrated by Rob Lowe, who is on every TV show in the world right now.
Oh, Christian Laettner. It's 30 for 30 was narrated by Rob Lowe.
Yeah, they get some pretty big narrators. Vince Vaughn did the Bears one.
I know. I could tell that. But that was because
a Chicago connection.
Right.
Rob Lowe, I don't know why they went with him. Maybe they were thinking, hey, we need a pretty white guy to talk about a pretty white guy. So it's really interesting how they laid it out. So it's called I Hate Christian Laettner, and it starts off, and they got Christian Laettner as he is now as a 45-year-old man, you know, walking down a hallway, and they got a bunch of extras to be like, you still suck, we hate you, and all this stuff.
Oh, wow.
Because the whole thing about him was how he was the most hated college basketball player of all time.
Yeah, why was that, though?
Well, there was a lot to hate about Duke at that time. The rise started a couple years before him, where Duke represented, even in the state of North Carolina, They were the only school that had nothing to, they didn't have like a connection to the state. NC State has North Carolina, University of North Carolina. All the other schools were named after a town they were in. Duke was just Duke.
Yeah.
This pristine, almost like Ivy League school.
In the middle of North Carolina.
In the middle of North Carolina.
It was Chapel
Durham.
Hill.
It was Durham, Durham, which is very much a farm town.
Sure.
And they had all these people from New York and, you know, New England that would come down, these elites, and they would go to Duke. And so a lot of the rest of the state really hated Duke. The state of North Carolina hates Duke. Still do. And they would hold up signs like, oh, and God needed farmers, so he created NC State. You know, they were just very, you know, they had like this God likes us, we're the chosen ones type of weirdness.
Sure.
You know, very skull and bones type of way. And there was a lot to hate about Christian Laettner, though. He was dirty. He talked a lot of trash. And then going to Duke on top of that really was just like, oh, it was the trifecta. Plus, he had that 90s country club hairstyle.
Yeah.
He just looked like a country clubber. So the whole main, that whole MO from the documentary was basically perception versus reality and the notion that people only hated him because he was good and he was great. And the whole perception versus reality thing was he was perceived as this, you know, one percenter, you know, country club kid, as I was saying before. And Duke was always this rich, suburban, white. And, you know, at the time they were facing off against UNLV, which had Larry Johnson, and they were like this fun team doing alley-oops and everything. And in Michigan, the Fab Five, that five freshman starters. And then in Georgetown before that. And they were, so Duke represented this. They play fundamental basketball. They, you know, we were talking about Goose Gossage and that whole underlining racism that these old guys are like, I'm not racist, but. Yeah, you kind of
you are.
You know, if you're upset with Cam Newton dabbing, but you're okay with Aaron Rodgers doing the discount double check.
Yeah, that's
you're
the thing.
Racist, you know, and you even see it with the announcing. So here's something I think you could appreciate. Not appreciate, but you'll find a little bit like, oh, yeah, no shit. This announcer did this. At one point in the documentary, they show a high school game where they're facing because he grew up in Buffalo.
OK.
And he went to a prep school for high school. Despite the fact, they do talk about this a lot, he did not grow up wealthy. He was lower middle class. His mom was a teacher. Dad, I think, like did something like very blue collar as well.
Sure.
I forget the exact job. Yes. And he, and so they really, really play that up. Like, no, he's very simple man. They weren't rich, but then, you know, got into a prep school and they're facing South Park High School in Buffalo, which was all black school. And versus Christian Laettner school, which is very preppy, everything like that.
Yeah.
On one play, you see Christian Laettner throw an elbow and knock a guy down, but the camera then follows the action. And then you see one of the players stop to look back. You know, this is to get some high school AV kid not
knowing
how to be a cameraman. He's not union. He doesn't know what the fuck he's doing.
No idea.
Yeah. So he then cuts back, and then it's this big brawl, and then the announcer goes, oh, the South Park kids instigated this brawl. And it's like,
Christian Laettner did.
No, Christian Laettner did.
Yeah, yeah.
And that made me think of like how you still see that stuff, like at that Trump rally, that one dude got jacked, and all the security guards pulled away the guy who got jacked.
Right.
It's just there's little shit like that you still see. So then they do the 5 points of hate. I'll tell those to you real quick, and then I want to hear your instant take of just like, oh yeah, no shit. The number one thing they talked about was privilege, and then they tried to like, you know, be like, this is the 5 points of hate. Privilege, the fact that he's white, bully. They hate each one titled.
Sure.
What was the other one? That he's great and that good looking. Those
sure.
are the five things.
I could see, I could see the one main thing in there that could offset all of them is that he's a bully. If you were all those things and a really fucking nice guy and you were like a Walter Payton guy, like you knock someone down, you pick him up off the field, you're not going to be hated. But if you're all those things, if you're talented, you're good looking, you're white, and you're from privileged background, and then you're a fucking dick on top of it, I don't know why anyone in the world should care about you.
I agree 100%. I even took that as a note when I was watching the podcast, was that he had this whole thing that, you know, they kept talking about perception versus reality and the notion that only people hate him because he was good, which I think was completely crap. It's like, I don't care if you grew up blue collar. You throw an elbow, you're a prick.
Yeah.
And then he even was talking about it. He's like, I don't like how people always think about this sport was that, like, you know, sports are supposed to be intense. He's like, oh, everyone thought, ooh, dude, college basketball is supposed to be like a goody-goody thing. No, you're supposed to play intense. You're supposed to be tough, all this kind of stuff.
Sportsmanship.
And like, look, yeah, I get it. I like intense athletes who play with passion. But again, nobody likes a cheap shot artist, and that's what he was. And one of the big things that I really couldn't when they talked about the bully thing too, they talked about his brother, and it's like, well, yeah, of course his brother was a dick.
Yeah, everyone's older brother's a dick.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
So there's a few things that too. When they go back to privilege, going back to the first point, privilege, fans wanted the working class heroes. You know, they wanted those type of people. People just assumed Christian was from a wealthy family. You know, when they first started talking about how his, you know, he came from lower middle class, I was like, oh, okay, you know, cool, that kind of stuff. But then again, it goes back to how you carry yourself, because there are a lot of good-looking white athletes that people are totally cool with.
Sure.
A lot of people don't hate Tom Brady because he's great. They hate it because of the cheating thing that goes around him.
Yeah.
You know?
Or Aaron Rodgers. If you want to hate Aaron Rodgers, it's hard to, because he's...
I don't hate Aaron
I don't either.
Yeah, there's nothing to really hate about.
He's great. He seems like a nice guy. He seems like a genuinely, like, good dude.
Yeah, totally.
I'm wrong, but he's certainly able to fight the image of that.
People are only starting to hate Peyton Manning right now, because they know that his
past.
The
rape thing. The rape
thing's coming out, where he put his taint on some woman's face.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, he put his taint on her.
What?
Which is very specific.
It really is. I'm sorry to laugh.
No, it's
wait, like, was like against her will or like?
Yeah, it was a trainer, and he ended up like after she like tried.
Also,
to say,
just say that Joe's wife just walked in as Joe was saying, "Yeah, he put his fucking taint on her." So we are talking about sports, Nicole. It's not.
Yeah, well, I mean, this podcast goes in a lot of directions. Yeah. Let's be clear on that. So yeah, it's not just. And the funny thing, I keep thinking about this documentary, and it was a cool watch, and it made me respect him as a player. But I still hate him.
Yeah.
That documentary, if their goal of that documentary was to make you not hate Christian Laettner, was to make you be like, oh, I guess he was a pretty good guy. They horrible job. It was one of the longer 30 for 30s. It went like 80 minutes, where a lot of them are a little bit less than that. One of those ones you could have ended a million times.
Did he play in the NBA?
He did. He had a solid career early on. He averaged like, you know, 16 points, 8 rebounds, you know. Nothing special, though. A lot of people were happy that he wasn't a huge NBA star, because it's like, oh, yeah, what's it like now?
Right.
Because he got drafted by Minnesota. They're losing 60 games.
They
showed toward the end footage of him on the bench of the Timberwolves just looking like, what the hell? I wish I was still at Duke. Like,
right.
And he even like talked about, like, I miss Coach K. Like, I just hate, like, dude, one of those dudes who can't get over high school.
Yeah. Who still is talking about the when they went All-State. And
so talking about glory days.
17, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, come on, get real. But no, Laettner was a great college player, still holds all these NCAA records for the tournament, you know, most points and everything like that, which he will continue to have, because really great players now leave after a year or two.
To go
he
NBA.
Was there, yeah, back yeah, then yeah. You were there all 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
A couple other takeaways that he gave his teammates shit, too.
That's even worse. I hear that about Kobe, how Kobe, like, when, like, new players come on, they're like, he's very much, like, not into, like, make friends. Like, he's there to fucking be Kobe and to, like... do himself and not really a huge... I mean, obviously you have to be a team player to an extent if you're going to succeed, but I just that's the worst part too, is talking shit to your teammates or not being cool with your teammates, because that's the whole point of team sports in my mind.
Totally, and that's why it's important to get children involved in it, and that's one of the selling points of sports as a whole.
For sure.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. The fact that you could see Laettner and you see Kobe doing it, I think the truly great players, they know when to get on their teammates and they know when to raise them up.
Sure.
You got to have that balance.
If you're going to be a leader, you have to know how to do it across the entire spectrum.
Yeah, I mean, Michael Jordan famously punched Bill Cartwright in the face, but who hasn't wanted to punch Bill Cartwright in the face? So you got to go that route with that. All right. Yeah, so you would see him yelling at Bobby Hurley and giving him a hard time and stuff like that. And you'd see him, he would hit Grant Hill in the back of the head. Who, I will say this about Duke, even though they were perceived as this all rich kid team, Grant Hill was actually the only rich kid.
Really?
Yeah, Grant Hill. Oh, Grant Hill's father was roommates with, I think he went to college with Al Gore.
No way.
Yeah. I don't know if they were roommates or really good friends or something like that. Because now I'm thinking roommates. Tommy Lee Jones might have been roommates with Al Gore at Harvard.
Whoa.
Something crazy. Al Gore had some crazy roommates. Anyway, though, or maybe his mom went to school with Hillary Clinton. That family, the Hill family, tons of money. Both his parents
up.
Are doctors.
Oh, wow.
And started their own practices, I believe, and made a fortune.
Dang.
So, yeah, I'm sorry. Going back to Laettner. Again, this documentary was meant to make you like him at all. It just didn't work for me.
Maybe it wasn't meant to make you like him. I mean, the title of it was I Hate Christian Laettner.
I think that was make you watch it.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's like
yeah,
a clickbait
title. Because you're like, yeah, I do hate him. Let's watch it.
The thing is, I didn't really hate him. I didn't know. At this time, I was 7, 8 years old. You were 6, 7 years old. Yeah. What am I, a year older than you?
Mm-hmm.
We were too young at that time to really, I didn't
understand
like,
or
looking
give a shit.
Back on it. Yes, I was about to get into that. And that whole game, to me, is pivotal in the whole Christian. By the way, I had a couple beers and I haven't eaten anything all day.
Pivotal.
So now I can't speak.
Yeah.
It was that game. So famously, Grant Hill, Oh, yeah. They didn't hear what you said because you're very far away. Brooks Wheelan is yelling off mic. So you guys clearly haven't heard that. This has been one of our sillier podcasts toward the end.
I like it.
I like it, too. It's supposed to be fun. Brooks mentioned how they had one of the craziest games, one of the craziest plays in NCAA history. This is true. Grant Hill inbounds this long pass with like 2.6 seconds left. Leitner catches it, puts one dribble down, turns around, hits a shot, the buzzer. Now, I, to this day, before watching this documentary, always thought that was to win the championship. No, that was just to advance to the Final Four. That was against Kentucky, and they talk about that entire game. In that game, Leitner thought that one player, this player Timberland, had knocked him over, but it turns out it wasn't him. So then when Timberland fouled him at the other end, and the guy's on the ground, Timberland's like laying on the ground, Leitner like stomps on him.
I saw that. He like I've this, seen
like he like
that.
Steps
yeah,
on
yeah,
him,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
like
yeah.
Not super hard, but enough to be like, "What's up?"
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the announcer at one point even was, "This is such a like fucking." I really hate college sports announcers because mm-hmm. they're always trying to, especially the lead announcer, the guy who does color usually could give you like, "No, shut up. That's not how it went down." The announcer was just like, "I don't know if that was on purpose." And before he could finish the sentence, the other announcer was, "Yeah, it was." He just sounded like that angry dad sitting at
that
the end of the
bar. That was sportsmanship.
That was bullshit what he did there. Open your fucking eyes, Tommy. You know, like whatever the announcer's name was. Mm-hmm. So in that game, he stomps on him. And here's the example. They're talking about, like, they kept cutting to other NBA players, or not NBA players, but college players from that era. They cut to Jalen Rose, and Jalen Rose is like, "Of course he didn't get ejected. It's Duke. When you're a Duke player, you don't get the hard fouls. They got a little technical." And Jalen Rose was like, "If I would have done that, I would have gotten ejected. I would still be banned from, like,
right.
I would have
been like a 10-game suspension because he was black."
Totally. Like, there's just something about Duke and the fact that he just got away with this. So in that game, though, that was the same game he hit that winning shot. I didn't know that. I had no idea that he had stomped someone to like 20 minutes earlier. And was still allowed to play in the game. And he goes perfect from the field. He was 10 of 10 from the field, 10 of 10 from the free throw line. And then hits that iconic shot, one of the greatest shots in history.
Yeah.
And they kept cutting to people who hate Duke, like sports, you know, writers and announcers and stuff. And they were just like, "He shouldn't have been in the game."
Yeah.
He hits that shot in a game he should not have
been playing. There's a flagrant foul,
He shouldn't have been in that game. And he did it right in front of the ref. The ref sees him do that. And they was totally cool with that.
That's crazy.
The one thing that did make you feel firm a little bit was, he is great. I'm not gonna touch on the great issue so much. He is great, but again, he shouldn't have been in that game.
Mm-hmm.
You could be great, but don't be an asshole.
Right.
That's the thing. I mean, it'd be one thing. We were talking about earlier. I'm okay with people doing bad flips. I'm okay with you celebrating. You had a game and shot, that's fine. But if you're going to do cheap shots, push people when they're not looking, do little fouls, lead with your elbow, that kind of stuff, I don't respect you as a player.
Mm-hmm.
There were rumors that him and his teammate, Brian Davis, were gay.
Oh.
And there were some footage of games where you could literally hear the crowd chanting. They were chanting faggot.
Oh, wow.
Right? Which is terrible.
Well, now I almost like him now. I'm like, all right.
Well,
he was having a hard go in a very
hetero-dominated
industry.
This was 91, 92.
Yeah,
you know?
No, they were not looking kindly at any homosexuals back then.
So
especially
in
sports.
I appreciated the fact that he would then blow a kiss at the crowd when they did that to him.
Yeah,
so
kind of
hamming it up a little bit. I like that a little bit, you know. But it's one of those things where I thought about him, like, if you say he then at that moment when they were chanting that and calling him a homo and all that,
he's like, "Yeah, I'm gay."
What if he came out and said he was gay?
That'd be badass.
That would have been totally badass.
I would love that.
But then I still would have hated him as a player because he's a cheap shot. Yeah. He's shit. Because
he's also a dirty player. Yeah.
He's a dirty player. I mean, I don't know. And then when he was in the dream team,
was he on the dream team?
He was the only
in
college
the Olympics?
Player on the dream team.
Really?
Yeah.
With like Jordan and Pippen and all
that. He was on
that
92 team. That was another thing that made a lot of people hate him. They're like, how dare he? And everyone wanted Shaq to be on that team.
Yeah.
Because Shaq was the number one pick overall. Leitner went 3.
Wait, Leitner and Shaq got drafted the same year?
Same year.
Okay.
Yeah. And Shaquille O'Neal obviously went on to have a way
Better.
Way better career. It was crazy.
Yeah, Leitner doesn't got that gold bond money, son.
Leitner, he probably did a couple commercials, though, for
maybe.
Some people. I don't know. He was just I know some people might comment on this being like, that didn't make you appreciate him at all. No, look, I appreciate the fact that he was a great player. He worked his ass off, and maybe he was one of those guys that needed to use that edge to use the hate to make
to
myself.
To fuel me. To, yeah, to yeah, yeah,
fuel
yeah.
Me.
Sure, to do that extra 20 reps in the gym. Yeah, whatever. Yeah,
some people use that, and they do a great job with it, and it makes them better, and I respect the people who can channel that into a positive.
That makes me more sad.
Yeah. You know, the thing about Christian Leitner was that even to this day, there was just something about him that never seemed humble. He never seemed, I don't know, like if you're going to, if you're going to be one of those players who's like that, who's just a dick to his teammates, cheap shots, like I keep
you gotta saying. You got to be the best in the. You got to be the best there ever was.
You got to at least something. I don't know. I don't know if there's anything that would ever make me like someone like that.
I just don't understand. Dude,
was like, Jordan like that? And I'm just blind because he played for Chicago.
There was some stuff that I think we found out afterwards. Where just like he was like, you know, a big shit talker, like more so than like, you know, a lot of other players. And I, you know, he, the gambling addiction. I don't know. There was some stuff with his family that I think happened behind closed doors. That, like,
yeah.
With the divorce. And
Leitner was a good family guy. I'll give him that.
Yes. I mean, not to say that Jordan wasn't a good family guy, but I know there was like a semi messy divorce and there was like glaring gambling issues, but I don't like. But he was like he was the heart of Chicago. Like everyone was in love with him. You know what I mean? Like my mom was in love with him. Everybody was. Like he was just. There was a sweetness about him too that wasn't.
Jordan. I don't remember ever doing cheap shots.
No, never cheap That's shots. Never anything physical. Like he would. He barely ever. Like he never. I don't remember one time Jordan ever falling out of a game when Rodman would do it every game.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it would. Be, I remember it being weird when Jordan got a foul because I was like, "What?" Because he was so he didn't need to
call on him a lot either. But you never saw him. He never really did anything too dirty. And as much as he pushed his teammates, you hear a guy like Scottie Pippen say, "I wouldn't be the player I am without him."
Right. Well, you also like Jordan was always like there was like a sweetness about him. Like you'd see him wink at people, and like he always had kind of a smirk sometimes. You know what I mean? Like there was just like you wanted to like him, and it, like also it became not even like internationally, like not even like Chicago's identity, but like almost like an international identity. Like you would go overseas like before Jordan and be like, I'm from Chicago, and people would like talk about Capone or like murders, and then Jordan came over and you go overseas and people were like, oh, Michael Jordan. Like,
yeah, totally. Yeah. It went from, you know, there's that, ever see the movie Stripes with Bill Murray? At yes. one point they go, ooh, America, Chicago, bang bang. Like they yeah, that's yeah, like yeah, what yeah, the yeah. Czechoslovakians
right,
thought
right,
of
exactly.
Chicago.
And then it became Michael Jordan, and that's what took it over.
Yeah,
so like,
Jordan and then Oprah. just wrapping up on Christian Laettner. It's a great documentary. I do recommend it. I'm not gonna say it's great. It's good. It's one of those documentaries where I'm like, you could have ended this 20 minutes ago, and I would have gotten the point that you were trying to convey. Coach K loved him. His teammates did love him, even Grant Hill and Bobby Hurley at the end were like, yeah, he did make us better and everything like that. But to me, there was just, all right, here's how I think I figured out why I still hate him. Because during this documentary, as I'm watching it, he would do all these horrible things and have this look on his face like, oh, what, I can't do that? Like, I hate those guys.
Yeah.
I think we all hate the people who do dirty, cheap stuff and then look at the ref like, what, me?
Yeah, that's the worst.
And then for him years later to still kind of be like smug about it, I'm just like, nah.
So they interviewed him in real time? He wasn't like, I'm sorry. I was a young kid back then. I didn't know what I was doing.
Yeah, they interviewed him present day.
That would have made me like, be like, you know what? Yeah, he got thrown into a spotlight. He was young. They threw money at him. He didn't know any better. He got cut up. So now he's apologizing. But if he's still going to be like, yeah, fuck that. I stepped on this guy's arm. Fuck that guy's arm. Like,
That's the thing.
Still don't like you. I retroactively hate you.
So they interview. Yeah, you're right. So they interview him present day, and he still kind of had this. I could understand if he was just like, no, I played the game hard. That's the way I played it. But then don't act like, hey, I was misunderstood. You guys should like me. Just be like, yeah, people don't like me. I'm the heel. I'm the bad guy. I get it. I don't
care. Or you look like like Steve McMichael, like Mongo. He's like, yeah, fuck everybody.
You don't like me, so what? Yeah. Just be that guy. Then don't be the guy that like. Decades later is just like, look, you really should like me because I was misunderstood. No, we understood you just fine.
Maybe
you weren't the rich kid that we thought you were. Maybe because you were this pretty boy, we hated you unjustly. But no, you still
don't
played the game in a way I didn't like.
If you're gonna say I was misunderstood, fuck you. But if you're like, you know what, I was an asshole back then. I was young and dumb. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's
sure. Not like no. I was misunderstood. I would have still done that. Like it's coming from someone who would be like, I would do that all over again the same way. Fuck you, man.
He should have had some humility.
Yeah,
I thought he should have just had a little humility about him.
That's it. Well, that's what makes people like someone being humble and gracious and honest and like not someone who's like, yeah, I deserve this. Fuck you guys. You're welcome for this. No way.
No way.
One's like
I can't
you.
Get behind him. All right. Well, that's been our podcast wrapping up Christian. I hate Christian Laettner. Definitely check it out. It was fun to see some people toward the end being like, no, I still hate Christian Laettner. I'm sorry. I still hate him. I don't. Like, I respect him. I did respect him a little more after watching it, but no, I still don't like him.
Yeah.
I actually was indifferent to Duke for a while. I had some close friends who really liked Duke. Mm-hmm. And I remember even rooting for them one year because I had them winning in my bracket. In like high school, being like, oh yeah, I have no problem with Duke. But watching that made me be like, no, I hate
Duke.
Fuck
Duke, yeah.
Kind of hate Duke. Yeah. University of Michigan is the same way with me. Growing up, I really didn't hate them or love them. They were just there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they had some players I liked. But now as I've gotten older, I hate them now too.
Yeah.
There's just something about some of these schools that just drive me nuts. Maddie, where can people find you?
Ooh, you mean like online? Yeah. Or, online. Oh, well, MattyRyanComedy.com.
Where are you staying? What's the address?
At your place right now. All right. I'm doing Comedians You Should Know at Hollywood Improv tomorrow. But yeah, website, MattyRyanComedy.com. Twitter, Maddie_Ryan.
And we still have a lot of Chicago listeners. So if you're in Chicago, Thursday night, Parlor Car at Bar DeVille.
Every Thursday.
Cool bar. Damon, just south of Chicago Avenue. Every Thursday night, what, 9:30?
Yeah, 9. We say 9. We usually get going a little late. So get there at 9, you guys. Get a seat.
Even movies have previews beforehand, right? They don't start on time either. That's what I always say. All right, well, that's been the podcast again. Thanks, everyone. Please write us a review. If you do, I got this thing going on. Write a review. Prove it to me. I will send you a signed hard copy of my album, Pay Attention.
Oh, man. That's so easy.
It's so easy to just write a review. It's really easy to get a sweet album. Share it. And you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and on my website, JokeHillGallon.com. Again, thank you for listening to Comedians Talking Sports.